Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast, where it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about altitude and pressure changes. These are the two environmentally related most prominent triggers when people are dealing with headaches or migraines. If you have migraines and you've likely been able to tell when the pressure changes or when the rain's coming or the snow's coming, when you're going to get a thunderstorm, you can feel that. We're going to talk about why you feel that. We're also going to talk about why at altitude that might be a trigger for you. All right. So we're going to look at some studies. We're going to get into some of the nuances of how our body responds to situations where there's less oxygen. That's going to pertain to altitude specifically. But this is also going to be helpful for you if you live in a state where there are dramatic pressure changes or frequent pressure changes, and you're wondering how much of that is a factor on your situation. This is also going to be helpful for you in understanding what to do about it, because understanding the why behind these problems is the first step in understanding how to treat it. In this podcast, we want to empower you, so the end result of understanding this information should not be, okay, now I need to move out of my state because environmentally all these things are impacting me. We want you to be in control of your situation no matter where you live. Here in Colorado, Colorado Springs, we're at about 6,000 feet elevation. You can drive or hike or walk up to the top of Pikes Peak, which is 14,000 feet. They did a study at 15,000 feet where they simulated 15,000 feet a hypoxic event. So meaning these patients, these subjects, 15 of them on the subjects had prior migraine diagnosis and the other 15 did not. So 30 total subjects. They put them in an environment where it felt like they're at 15,000 feet. So it would be like going to the top of Pikes Peak. And it's really interesting to see what they found. We're going to take from this study and kind of work backwards, come to some conclusions, connect them to what we know of the neck, of the jaw, of the shoulders, of this tension that we see, and understand that component along with this component of decreased oxygen, the pressure in the atmosphere. We're going to tie this all together. All right. So again, two main environmental factors that people experience as far as triggers are altitude changes and pressure changes. So first off, altitude changes. You are going to see a change in the barometric pressure, so they do kind of go hand in hand. The higher elevation you're at, the lower the barometric pressure is going to be. And we'll talk about barometric pressure a little bit more later. The other thing that we experience with altitude is a hypoxic state, meaning there's less oxygen. And it's really interesting to look at what our body, how our body responds to decreased oxygen. So that research study I was referencing that simulated that 15,000 feet, there were a few takeaways that I thought were worth talking about. So when you look at some of the data and specifically around the decrease of oxygen and how our body responds, there's something called nitrous oxide that increases within our system, and it acts as a vasodilator. So that means that blood vessels like arteries are going to widen and allow more blood through them in order to increase the available oxygen to whatever tissue. That's one of the impacts of nitrous oxide. And so when we are in a hypoxic state, when the oxygen is less, nitrous oxide increases, all right? So one of the things that they've found as far as when we're looking at drugs and the interaction of drugs is there is a type of drug that sort of mimics nitrous oxide that actually they found causes headaches and migraines. And so it's interesting, and this is how our Western medicine model works oftentimes, is they'll come up with a drug, and that drug might have its initial purpose might be to interact with the body or chemically to treat some condition. But what we find is that it actually has these side effects, or the results might be kind of an overflow into different areas. And in this situation, this drug that mimics nitrous oxide is actually causing headaches and migraines. And so when the researchers look at that, or the pharmaceutical companies look at that, they go, oh, well, what if we impact nitrous oxide in the opposite direction and have an anti-nitrous oxide drug? Would that help? And so one of the thoughts when you go up in altitude and your oxygen availability has decreased, naturally the nitrous oxide increases. And the thought is, well, maybe that is the trigger. Maybe it's just this underlying response to nitrous oxide that people are having. Well, this study actually found no difference between the group that had a migraine in this scenario and those that didn't. So the result was that 8 of those 15 people that had the prior diagnosis of migraine had a migraine that was triggered when they were simulated to be at 15,000 feet. But the nitrous oxide looked the same. The levels in their body looked the same. There's also what's called glutamate. So they looked at the actual brain activity. So glutamate is a neurotransmitter. Seeing what the glutamate levels were at during this hypoxic event gives us an idea of maybe how active the brain was, because glutamate's going to be used to send signals in neurons within the brain. But glutamate levels didn't really look that different either. Okay, so glutamate's not really a factor. The neurons aren't necessarily doing anything different. Okay, so then we ask another question, and that's when looking at lactate levels within the subjects in the brain. And they did see, like, after the fact, that lactate levels were a little bit higher in those that had the actual migraine symptoms, which the researchers in this study, and this is true for most studies, they kind of have to draw conclusions at the end of the research. They say, you know, this is why we suspect this result happened. And so what I'm going to say is, when we think about lactate, it's a result of neurons or different cells utilizing glucose. So glucose is a really important part of not only the brain getting kind of the fuel that it needs, but the rest of our body. Our body uses glucose or sugar as energy, okay? And one of the results of us breaking down the glucose to use it as energy is lactate. And so an increase in lactate in the brain could potentially mean that the brain had an increased demand for glucose during the migraine itself, which is kind of interesting. The other thing that was noticed, changing gears a little bit here, but they noticed that the mitochondrial function within the muscle was different. And again, these are big terms. I don't expect you all to know what all these things do, but within the cell, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. And so when they're looking at the actual muscle, they're saying, okay, at the cellular level, these muscles in the patients that had a migraine were at the cellular level, the mitochondria was like having to work a little bit harder. There was something different about it compared to the subjects that didn't have those symptoms at all. And so if we're going to connect that to what we know of headaches and migraines and what we do every day here at Novera, and what you, the listener, are sort of intuitively understanding about your situation, is that your neck might have a problem or your shoulders might have a problem. And as your neck tension increases, that pain travels up and around the back of the head, or maybe it's in the temples, maybe it's in the forehead. There's all different types of presentation, but most people, when you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, my neck is probably involved, all right? So when we go up in altitude, not only is the barometric pressure changing, which we'll talk about in a second, but also there's a decrease in oxygen. Now, those lactate levels post-migraine, there's maybe a higher demand of glucose in the brain. Now, we've talked about central sensitization, all right? We've talked about how pain works, how we receive a pain signal, and how we can't necessarily trust that as a one-to-one, like, take this to the bank. We can trust where it's coming from. We can trust the type of signal that it's giving us. No, we can't necessarily do that, because we know that referred pain is a thing, and we know that the brain can perceive different sensory inputs. So it's a pain signal, but it might present as blurred vision or an aura. It might present as numbness and tingling. So there's all sorts of things that the brain can confuse. Now, so the brain is a major component of experiencing this really intense pain signal. And we see that neurons, and actually glutamate is one of these things that they see change during an aura. So cortical spreading depression is a term that if you get into like what is an aura, what's happening during an aura, the brain actually has this level of activity that increases. So glutamate levels, they're seeing as part of that process. Glutamate as just a neurotransmitter, meaning it gets the brain excited. So when glutamate ramps up, the brain, like we can see that on a functional MRI. And so that connects to the aura. Okay. And so if your brain is experiencing this intense pain signal, it makes sense that your brain would kind of have like all this activity associated with it, and that there'd be an overlap of sensory inputs, maybe referral patterns, all sorts of things that are happening. All right. And potentially there's a higher glucose demand and leading to higher levels of lactate. Okay, I'm assuming things here, all right? But I'm trying to draw conclusions because I think this is helpful for us to kind of put these pieces together. The other thing that they were seeing is the mitochondrial function within the muscle, which when we think about headaches and migraines, oftentimes people, like we talked about, you're intuitively knowing, like, I have some sort of neck problem. I push here in my neck when I have an issue, and that's really sensitive. So people that have headaches and migraines tend to have dysfunction throughout their neck and their shoulders, meaning the muscle tension has ramped up. There's trigger points, meaning spots within the muscle that are not happy. There's fibers that are just contracted, and they're not in this normal contract-relax cycle. The joints aren't moving the way they should, and all of that leads to elevated tension and dysfunction within the muscle. All right, so these people, when you put them at altitude, if the decreased oxygen is increasing the demand not only potentially on their brain but also on their muscles, you're going to be at higher risk of experiencing your headache and migraine. All right, again, just trying to piece things together. A lot of the research out there is there's still more to be done. Okay. But I thought that was fascinating as far as altitude. I kind of enjoyed going down that little rabbit trail of research myself. I hope that makes sense. Again, just to recap, when we have decreased oxygen, so when we're at altitude, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be at 15,000 feet. I think we can safely say, like, even going from sea level to Colorado Springs, which is 6,000 feet, or 6,000 feet to 14,000 feet, if you have that dramatic change, and that can even be flying. I mean, if you go from sea level to, 30,000 feet is what commercial airlines fly at, but the pressurize the cabin to, I think, about 6,000 feet, 6,000 to 8,000. You can Google that and correct me on it, but it's not sea level. And so there is a change in altitude. And so whatever situation this might be, it doesn't necessarily have to be 15,000 feet for you to be in somewhat of a hypoxic situation. And if the level of tension in your brain sensitivity is already really high, you might be super sensitive to altitude changes. So the takeaway from this is not like be afraid of going up in altitude. The takeaway of this is to understand that, but then control what you can control, which we talk about on a lot of other podcasts or the interviews with other providers. But in this situation, it would be, what is your neck feeling? Do you have an elevated level of neck tension prior to that flight or prior to hiking up Pikes Peak or traveling through the mountains? All right. So what can you do to cater to your neck, reduce neck tension so that your threshold for what you can tolerate goes up? All right. So that's what I would control about that situation. I'd start to think differently about it instead of just feeling like you're just going to fall victim to this, which is kind of a paralyzing path to go down. All right. So the other thing that we'll talk about is the barometric pressure. Okay. The barometric pressure as a trigger is very, very common. Colorado, Denver, in particular, I think is ranked pretty high as far as cities that have frequent pressure changes. And if you're in a place like Florida, I think Charleston, South Carolina has the largest range of changes, okay? So the most dramatic changes. Denver, Colorado has the most consistently low pressure, and that has to do with the altitude that Denver is at. And then San Diego is the city with the smallest range of changes. So if you're looking for a place that you can get rid of or kind of avoid those dramatic changes in weather, San Diego is the place for you. Me and my family are vacationing there in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to it. I know the weather is pretty stable. Okay. So what's happening with barometric pressure? Well, if you think of someone that has had a knee replacement, or maybe they have arthritis in their knee, there's a level of inflammation within that joint that they're dealing with. And so what happens is when the pressure is changing, namely when it's dropping, the pressure inside the joint has already been increased, but the difference, that delta between in the joint compared to outside the joint, is going to increase. So the change between the inside the joint and outside the joint increases, meaning the pressure within the joint is going to be elevated as well. So that already irritated, inflamed joint is going to be more sensitive. It's going to feel stiffer, and it's going to have more pain associated with it. All right. So we know that that's how the body interacts with barometric pressure, especially when it drops. When you go up in altitude, the barometric pressure is less. Okay. So not only are you getting it as you go up in altitude, which piggybacks off of the altitude conversation, but it's also going to be impacted by storms, pressure changes, changes in weather. All right, so what does that mean for people with headaches and migraines? Well, if you have headaches and migraines, what we're finding is almost everyone, and it doesn't necessarily matter the type of your headache or migraine, just because there are nuances of each presentation of pain that I won't go into necessarily in this podcast, but for the sake of this podcast, what I'll say is most people with any type of head or facial pain are going to be able to trace it back to some extent to something in their neck. And usually that's a large part of what's happening because it's been overlooked. And what's happening in the neck is not necessarily a muscle. Well, it incorporates a problem within the muscles. There's irritation within tendons. There's nerves that are not happy. But oftentimes it comes down to joints and the lack of mobility within joints. So what does that mean? Your head sits on the first bone and it should nod about 10 degrees forward. Most people are kind of stuck in this extended position, all right? So they're not getting that 10 degrees of forward nodding, but they're not even getting into neutral. So they might be stuck in like 10 degrees of extension. When you turn your head, half of your rotation should come from C1 and C2. That's about 45 degrees each direction. All right. Now, most people that we see that are dealing with headaches and migraines have lost that mobility. So what does that mean? It means there's irritation within those joints. There's a capsule around each joint, and the capsule is made up of ligaments. Ligaments connect bone to bone. The ligaments are intended to be mobile, meaning they can stretch, they can contract and relax. They're not like a muscle. They don't have contractile tissue, but they can stretch to a certain extent. Okay. Now, when a joint doesn't function, when it doesn't move the way it should, it adaptively shortens. Those ligaments adaptively shorten. All the tissues in our body are constantly adapting to stress. And so if you don't apply the available movement to the joint, there's a lack of stress, and it's going to adaptively shorten because of that void. And what happens is there's inflammation or irritation within the joint as a result of a joint not being able to do what it wants. And then there's that inflammation increases the pressure within the joint itself. All right. So if you have headaches or migraines, you're dealing with this joint restriction. And as the pressure changes, that's impacting the joint itself. Just like if you had a knee replacement or arthritis in your knee, and you could tell when it's going to rain or snow, or if you're in Florida or something like that, when there was severe pressure changes, severe weather coming, all right? And that's why you're getting a headache or a migraine. That's why your neck feels stiffer. That's why you might wake up in the morning and be like, oh man, I just feel off today, okay? It has to do with your body carrying a level of tension and then just not being able to tolerate as well when the barometric pressure drops, okay? So again, what do we do about that? Because it's that we can't control the weather. We can't control necessarily where we live. And so what we want to do At least we don't want to uproot and move just for the sake of our migraines. Although I know that these symptoms are debilitating enough that for some of you, you might be considering that. But what I want you to take away from this is control what you can control. So reduce the level of tension through your neck, through your shoulders, to the best of your ability, okay? So if you haven't yet taken it, I want you to go on our website and purchase the Headache and Migraine Masterclass. It'll give you kind of an in-depth look at what's happening, the anatomy behind it. It'll give you some exercises to do at home to teach you how to take care of your neck, and then it'll talk about some other providers, types of providers that you can look for. But I want you to start doing some things. It's like brush your teeth and floss. You know, the dentist asks you to brush your teeth and floss so that you don't have cavities. You need to start doing something for your neck a couple times a day. Spend 5-10 minutes, whether it's a pec stretch or something to improve neck stability or just get your neck moving better. We need to do something to cater to your neck so that when the pressure changes, when you're driving up at altitude, when you're flying, you're not going to be as likely to experience that headache or migraine because your threshold has been increased a little bit. So control what you can control. And the thing that we control in this scenario is the level of tension and irritation through our neck and through our shoulders. If you have no idea how to do that, I want you to go to our website, purchase the masterclass. But in addition, you can schedule a free discovery visit with us. We have virtual or in-person offerings as well. We are located here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you're anywhere near us, please come see us as we'd love to help you with this. I love to problem solve, and it's fun to see the relief that we can get when we start this process. So don't feel like you're alone. We want to help you in this. If you don't follow us on Instagram or TikTok, there's a lot of helpful information there. And then continue to listen to the Headache Doctor podcast. As always, it's going to be our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication, allowing you to thrive in everything you do. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.